are listening to Teacher Toolkit, supporting teachers, parents and students worldwide.
Education has changed so little in the last, you know, several hundred years.
We help teachers thrive and survive with classroom ideas, cutting-edge school resources and research-informed teacher training materials. You will also hear discussions on the policy, guidance and research-based publications.
Earlier this year, Ross met Reggie Grant, an assistant professor of journalism in Florida. He conducted an interesting, albeit noisy, interview in a London coffee shop. It's definitely worth a listen as Reggie talks about why he's frustrated about how little education has changed over the last few hundred years, and it's interesting to hear him describe what the education system in Florida is like compared to the UK.
Hello everyone, this is Ross McGill at Teacher Toolkit, the most influential blog on education in the UK. Today I'm with Reggie Grant. Reggie Grant's all the way from Florida. Reggie, could you introduce yourself to listeners and tell us what you do?
Yes, okay, so my name again, as Ross said, is Reggie Grant. And I am an assistant professor of journalism now. This is, I just finished my fourth year at Tallahassee Community College. It's in the state capital of Florida. And before that, I taught media production and a couple of different other subjects in high school for 11 years. So I just finished up my 15th year teaching, and it's going well. I think the evolution is always interesting.
You say that with some hesitation, so let's unpick that. What?
Okay, so I think that, and I'm not, I mean, I went to school, you know, I moved over when I was very young, after third year.
Yeah.
Went to Gunner Spring and in Brentford, and so I think that the frustration, I think, has to do with the fact that education has changed so little in the last, you know, several hundred years. I mean, you know, it's like one of those situations where you've kind of done it this way for so long and you don't really know how to do it any differently. I mean, I think that it's really crazy to teach subjects like English and maths and, you know, and all these subjects independently when you're like at the high school level. Like you go into a room for, I mean, in high school, depending on whether you've got luck scheduling or whatever it is, for 50 minutes and you learn one subject, right, that doesn't relate to really anything else, you know, for 50 minutes, then you know, 5 minutes, and then you go to the next room and then you learn about English for another 50 minutes, has nothing to do with anything else, right? And to me, that's really a crazy way of doing education.
Okay. So let's unpick that as we go through conversation. So to put it into context, Reggie and I, for people listening, we met in 2013. You came over to one of the teach meets I organised.
Yes.
We were on a bus.
That
evening, TM London bus. And then Reggie came to visit me in my school to meet my kids and watch me teach. And here we are 5 years later. Could you just tell us, what's the state of education in Florida? How does the kind of landscape lie in a 1 minute soundbite?
Oh my goodness. Well, I think we're still in the standardized testing game. You know, like you know, you go through and then at some point, you know, different points of education, you'll give students tests. And depending on how those students do on those tests, you know, some schools might get bonus money. Other schools are rated by you know, how well the students do on the test. So a lot of times, you know, schools get closed down or they get converted into charter schools because of, you know, students aren't doing well enough. I just think it's not the way that things should be done. I mean, you know, these tests were really never designed for these purposes.
So you echo lots of views that that a lot of people believe. What's the alternative?
Okay, so one of the things that first of all, I mean, even you look at the grading scale, you know, A in the States, and even in college, you know, you have the A through F, A, B, C, D, F. Oh, yeah. I think you have A through E over here. And really, the grading scale is meaningless. Really, it is. I mean, because the thing is that, you know, I mean, I would, you know, it has nothing to do with where a student starts, right? It's just, you just kind of, everyone is on this arbitrary scale. And really, a lot of times, students, they're more concerned with their grade than they are about actually learning. I mean, it's like they've been conditioned a certain way, mm-hmm. and it's just, you know, you're just jumping through these hoops with no direction as to why it is that we're doing what it is that we're doing. So I mean, you know, I think we kind of need to back up, and we need to do things with more purpose. And you know, one of the things that I do in my classes is I try and do some project-based learning. I haven't quite refined it. I've gotten to the point where I've been able to do it well, because you know, when you have a system that's already entrenched, you do anything different, you're frowned upon, you know, you're penalized and things like that. So there's only so much you can do. I mean, you know, I think at some point you kind of have to blow it all up and start from scratch.
So my next question, what's the one thing you'd like to see changed? Or done different?
I would like students to be able to integrate. I would like to see more project based lessons
and portfolios.
I think high school is where you need to do it. When you get to about maybe 14 or something like that, I think that you need to start, you know, showing students how to bring things all together. I don't know too much about the middle school age, mm-hmm. honestly. I've avoided the ages because of all the hormones that are going on and everything like that. I'm not sure if I would actually survive in a middle school environment. But of what I know, and I've no high school. I've even got two high schoolers myself. Yeah. I've got boys, 17 and 15. Micah's 17. He's going to be a senior in high school next year. And I have Jaden is just turning 15, mm-hmm. and he's going to be in 10th grade next year.
What's your number one workload tip for teachers to save them some time?
Okay, so I'm going to tell you a quick story. I'm going to try and keep it brief, right? But for my first 5 years of high school, when I was teaching, and I teach a subject that no one else teaches, so it's very, very isolating. I mean, teaching by itself is isolating, but when you're the only person that teaches a certain subject, it's even more isolating. So for the first 5 years, I stayed in my room and I didn't get out, right? I didn't get out of my room, and it was miserable. It was a miserable experience, right? So so then I started, you know, getting friends, get friendly with my colleagues and mm-hmm. stuff like that. You know, even for those first 5 years, I would have students stay in my room mm-hmm. at lunchtime. And it almost became like detention for me, because it was like, I never knew how much I needed to just get away just for that 50 minutes to be able to blow up steam. So what happened is we started a group, and we have all these friends, and we're all teaching together. And then what we used to do is we used to start taking our planning period. We would have one period a day that we could, you know, catch up on stuff and do some grading, planning, whatever it is. And then, you know, sometimes we would take our planning period and we would go to each other's rooms to see what other teachers were doing.
So collaborative just, planning, yeah.
Just to sit. I had a colleague of mine, Adam, and he bought a cappuccino machine and put it in his room, and he encouraged other teachers to come in. And you don't have to say anything. You just come in, make yourself some coffee,
right.
and he could be, a lot of times he was in, you know, uh-huh. and he was just teaching,
yeah.
and he wouldn't even say anything. And then a lot of times people, you know, I would hang out, go in there, or I would go in other people's rooms, and it was amazing, the
yeah.
mindset.
Nice tip. Right, quick fire round. Yeah. If you weren't a teacher, what would you be?
Musician.
What book are you currently reading?
I just finished a book, actually, just on the train, on the way over here, to Robert Parker, Spencer novels. I love Spencer. Yeah.
Okay, who would you recommend I interview next, and why? It might be tricky, I might have to come to Florida.
Yeah, well, I have to put you in touch with a couple of my friends, Adam LeMay, Paco Fialas, Kat Spradlin. Those are all good friends of mine that we had some really interesting things to say.
Where can we just find out more about you online?
Okay, so I have a blog. It's called Media for Literacy, and it's basically my belief that the media can be used to help teach any subject.
And Twitter ID?
Media number four literacy.
Media for literacy. Yeah. Okay, thank you, Reggie. It's lovely to see you.
Yeah, then. It's good to see you. Thanks, Ross.
You're listening to Teacher Toolkit. Find out more on our website and follow the hashtag TTKit podcast. Thanks for listening.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To continue the conversation, head over to www.teachertoolkit.co.uk and our social media channels to access all the links and resources mentioned on today's show. Why not share this with your colleagues and give them the gift of time, reduced workload, and increased impact? Until the next time, before you look after your students, look after yourself.